Welcome to the Data Universe podcast, where we talk with leaders at the forefront of data and AI about the latest innovations and trends transforming tomorrow. Some of these names you'll know, others you won't yet, but they'll all be connecting the dots across this swiftly evolving space, inspiring you to think big and go deep, uncovering insights to create your brighter future. My name is Adam Burns, technology journalist and contributing editor to Data Universe, and this is the future of data and AI explored and explained. And in this podcast, I'm talking with Flavio Villanustre, Chief Information Security Officer and Senior Vice President of Technology at LexisNexis Risk Solutions. Flavio, hello.
Hello, Adam. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, it's super good to have you. Thank you very much indeed. You're professionally renowned both for your expertise in cybersecurity and your contributions to open source initiatives, big data analytics. So very much the pragmatist and the idealist. So how do you get people, other leaders, teams, to embrace technological evolution?
First of all, you just picked on a particular dichotomy that I find in myself, as having those two aspects of my personality, right? Between trying to be well-rooted into what matters today, and also looking at what's coming down the road. But the second piece is potentially the most difficult, because not everyone wants to look at things that such a long-term type of prospect, right? People that do technology, sometimes they just are rooted in the today, so they are concerned about their numbers and meeting the requirements of a business and other things. But I think that it's absolutely key to look at things that are coming down the road, to look at what technologies are out there that will be bringing us change. Because if there's something that is pretty constant in technology, it's change. And many of these new technologies coming down the road might generate a substantial change. Some of these technologies, and we will, I'm sure, discuss this to a pretty long extent throughout this podcast, are going to really influence the way we operate and work and even live in the next decades. So it is important that everyone considers them, and those that are in leadership positions in technology should be looking at this as opportunities, as what they can do to bring these type of technologies to their business and help drive this technological change.
So for you then, the pragmatism more than the idealism is the most effective way of getting people within, you know, your leadership, within your teams, of getting them to embrace technology. It's talk about what it will do for you now, as opposed to what it might do for you in 6 months' time.
That is absolutely right, yes. And we are starting to see some of this already changing the world as we know it today. Now, it all depends on how future-facing you want to be with these new technologies, right? Some of them are already here, and I can mention things like generative AI. Those are pretty much day-to-day things today, even though they are rapidly developing and evolving, right? There are others that are a little bit more long-term. So if you look at quantum computing, yes, there are some applications that are viable and quite real today, but most organizations will not be adopting quantum computers maybe for some time, right? For maybe a couple of years. So it depends on how close you are to having those technologies broadly adopted on one side, and the other hand is and how much these technologies can impact your particular business if you're trying to convince business leaders that they should adopt them, right? So if you are in logistics today and you start to use quantum computers to build your plans for finding the shortest path and all that, that might save you significant money. So that might be something that you should be considering today. On the other hand, if you are, I don't know, in healthcare, well, quantum computing today may not have that much of a disruptive change, positive disruptive change to healthcare. So maybe you are not necessarily required to look at it today. But maybe generative AI does, so you need to be looking at that as well.
And what do you think is the most sort of exciting for you, the most exciting available technology that people are not maximizing? You know, because I get the sense a lot of the time that, that software doesn't fail, applications don't fail, ideas don't fail because they are inherently poor or bad. They fail because people only use 20 or 30% of them, and therefore they don't get the full benefit. What's the thing right now that you can say, you know what, this is amazing, and we are simply not using it?
The brain, but that's that's not technology, right? Unfortunately, sometimes people don't open their minds wide enough, but I'm not going to talk about the pop science here. We are talking about technology. Certainly, areas of AI and generative AI is one of those that is has quite a bit of traction nowadays, are, I think, underutilized. There is so much potential. From using generative AI to just solve some of your mundane tasks, all the way to using generative AI to develop software, to help develop software more effectively, or to run some of your business processes in a way that is more efficient. So there is plenty of potential there. I think there is still so much untapped potential from machine learning, AI, and in particular generative AI, that we will see businesses change almost radically in the next few months, maybe a couple of years, just because adoption is becoming so much more broad on these technologies. And again, the potential to improve the way you do your run your business processes, the potential to even change the way you operate professionally and even in your personal lives, thanks to some of these technologies, can be certainly quite of a change, a positive disruptive change type of technology. I think we are not using them enough, but we should be adopting them far more widely.
And do you think that the challenge of these things now then very much that that they are difficult to use, that you need to be a professional data scientist, that you need to be a professional data analyst to be able to use them? Or is it that anybody can use them, we're just not aware? We haven't done the training, as you said, we haven't opened our minds wide enough.
I think it's a little bit of both. So on one side, many of these new technologies, when they start very rough. So when you are just building new technology as the person or the groups that create the technology, you are not concerned about usability of the technology initially. You're concerned about the technology itself, right? What's this innovation that I'm building? Therefore, it might not be intuitive. It might not have all of the great usability tools. It might require a lot of expertise. Just a few years ago, if you try to build your own machine learning models, you need to understand the underlying math to build those models. There weren't tools out there that allow you to build this in a way that pretty much any software developer or data analyst could put together. Nowadays, that's no longer the case. Nowadays, we have enough abstraction layers built into these technologies, into machine learning and AI, that you can pretty much build it as a Lego system, right? You can take all these building blocks and just combine them. You're not required to write code by hand and build, more importantly, the math behind that code to run your own optimization process or to build your own algorithms for this. You just say, well, I want to have here a transformer in this deep learning stack. I want to put here this autoencoder. So all of these things have become high level enough that now it's far easier to adopt them. But of course, the abstraction comes typically at the core of the technologies, and then it moves towards the boundaries. So yes, the core of the technology now has all of these new usability capabilities that allow people that don't have the ultimate deep expertise to build some of these new technologies. But of course, if you are looking at the more sophisticated capabilities, those still require quite a bit of knowledge until it gets there. So all of this usability aspect comes from the core and then expands to the boundaries. We just didn't get there yet, but we will get there eventually. But you're right. on the fact that sometimes people are also very set in their normal way. So that's one. Humans, and this is not a coincidence or a random fact, right? But we are a little bit resistant to change in nature, and that makes us perfect sense. For millions of years, when we lived in caves, we were concerned about getting out of a cave and getting eaten by some big animal out there. So it is only natural that we will be resisting change. We've been conditioned that way for forever. That's some tendency that we need to try to get away from in order to at least explore what's out there. It doesn't mean that you need to adopt every new technology out there. That would be also detrimental. You don't want to just randomly pick up the new squirrel that you see here or there. But looking at what's coming down the road, I think is healthy, especially if you're in a position of leadership, because those things might be useful for you to maybe set a new differentiator to your business, maybe improve the way you do things, maybe become more efficient or more effective at certain things. And if you are not looking at them, you're missing opportunities.
And if you are in leadership now and, you know, at this, you know, incredible time of phenomenal change, really, technologically and culturally, I guess. What do you think around AI you should be most aware of? There's a lot of scaremongering, and I want to sort of try and use this question to cut through a lot of that. But there are things you probably should be very aware of and sensitive to as a leader. What are those things?
The very first thing that comes to mind is the ethical principles behind anything that you do, and AI is no different. Technologies that have such big potential out there, they have big potential for both good and bad. Still, AI, as I said before, is going to make a significant change in the way we operate and the way we live and the way we do business. But it has also the potential of creating some bad outcomes, from bias, of course, negative bias or detrimental bias, and this could affect people pretty significantly, to security issues and data disclosure, inadvertent data disclosure, for example, the use of these technologies for nefarious purposes. At the same way, I want to believe that we are the good people using these technologies to improve our lives and lives of other people. These technologies are also used by attackers, by bad actors, threat actors that are leveraging technologies to become better at what they do, which is criminal things. All of this needs to be absolutely at the forefront. And I think one of those aspects that I mentioned at the very beginning is this ethical framework for whatever you do, and AI is especially one of those areas where ethical principles need to be at the forefront. Just because we can do it, should we do it? And if we should we do it this way or in a different way? That is key. Unfortunately, technology moves at a faster pace every day. You can see the rate of technological change, it has increased over the past few decades, far faster than it had over the previous hundreds of years. But our ability to set ethical principles around it hasn't increased as much. The pace of developing new ethical frameworks still takes quite a bit because it requires other areas of our brains that are sometimes not as used as widely as they should, right? And I know that lots of organizations and lawmakers and governments and people in general are looking at this and trying to come up with better ways to define what those ethical principles should be and how this technology should be used for the benefit of everyone and not for either the benefit of a few or even worse for hurting people, but unfortunately we are not there yet. So if you are a leader and you are involved with new technologies, this should be something that you should have at the forefront of your priorities. This is very, very important.
Of course. And there is, you know, there is so much going on right now. You talk about generative AI, but there's also analytics, there's lakes and clouds, there's large language models and leadership and everything. But if this was a literal universe that we're talking about and not a figurative one, what planet in the data universe should we explore first and why?
That's a great question. Just to, as a segue from the previous answer, I think that planet should have some sort of ethical, moral principles first. Whatever the name of that planet is, it should be a planet where we put together, first of all, what is the goal of using any new technology, any of these technologies or any other technology that we may ever conceive, and how to use it for the benefit of everyone first. Technology should be at the bottom, lifting all of us as humans in that new world, and instead of coming on the top to hurt or subjugate some humans. Again, don't know the name of our planet, but I think that's probably a good planet to be.
Fantastic. Flavio, thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you to Flavio Villanustre from LexisNexis Risk Solutions. For more insights from an exciting, evolving, and frequently unfamiliar future, check out the other podcasts in this series or subscribe to the Data Universe Weekly Insights newsletter or join us all at Data Universe, where data heroes like you go to grow.